Be seated and set aside your socializing for a moment. Prepare yourselves to learn the Word of God. So let's all just take a moment and prepare ourselves for what we're about to do. It's very important. Father, we'd ask that you bless this study of your Word. In Christ's name, amen. As you'll recall, we're looking at the book of Ephesians, and if you'll turn to chapter 5, please. We're looking at some commands that flow from chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Let's read that. Chapter 4, 22 says, "In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth." That was kind of the headline of the section we're in. That was the overview. Now we're looking at some of the details, and the Apostle Paul is going to give us some examples. He won't give us an exhaustive list of what to do or not to do, but he'll give us some examples and then some principles that we can apply so that we don't have to have a revised, updated Bible every 6 months when somebody thinks of a new term for an old sin. And we have to, say not to do that. So we'll have our basic commands and some principles. And we're going to cover the area of licentiousness this hour. And that's covered in chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. Let's read those verses now. Starting at chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, just by way of introduction, let's look at a definition of licentiousness. Licentiousness is the mental attitude that says it's okay to go ahead and sin. Any mental attitude that says, well, it's okay to sin, is what we call licentiousness, or would fit under that term. Now, in our context, it's going to be talking about sexual sins, but it could be any sin. But this is the context that we're in. If you look at 5:3, it says, "Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness, no silly talk, coarse jesting." So he's talking about sexual type oriented sins. And now he's going to talk about an attitude that says it's okay to do that. And he says don't be participants in this sort of thing because it doesn't fit your position. Now, as far as licentiousness goes, there are three main garden variety brands of licentiousness. Who says it's okay to sin? Well, first there's the atheist or the agnostic. He says there's no God, so anything is permissible. Now, technically, he doesn't say it's okay to sin. He says there's no such thing as sin. So that's the first variety. He's an atheist. He says there's no God, and even though he knows better, and he does that so he can sin with impunity, he thinks. Secondly, there's the Gnostic. Now, a Gnostic is a person who separates spiritual from physical. And we still have those today. They separate our spiritual part from our physical part. And they say, we can be close to God spiritually, but what I do with my body doesn't really matter. So, you know, that leads to licentiousness, because they say, it's okay, because my body is evil, my spirit is good. And then, and probably what Paul is dealing with here, is there are those who say, well, we're free from the Mosaic law. Romans 6:14 says you are no longer under law. You're under grace. That means I can do whatever I want. No, that's not what that means. That is licentiousness. And those are the three main categories of licentiousness. You know, the New Testament has many, many imperative mood verbs. An imperative mood is a command. I mean, it's not requested of us, it's commanded. Now, does that mean we will never sin? No, of course not. But to think sin is okay is an attitude that is totally unbiblical, even though our sins are paid for. It's unbiblical to think that that means it's okay to sin. So that's what the apostle will be dealing with here. Now, he gives the command in verse 6, in the first part of the verse, when he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. And the you in that verse is very emphatic. Don't let these deceivers, you of all people, should not be deceived by this false doctrine. And he calls it empty words. Empty is the Greek word kanos, and that's the method that the deceivers use. Kanos means, when it's used figurative, it can be used literally of an empty glass, an empty cup, an empty box, an empty anything. But figuratively, it means being devoid of intellectual, moral, or spiritual value. Completely of no value. So these guys teaching this stuff, their teaching is of absolutely no value. Now, we would call this human viewpoint. That's kind of our catchword here. We call it human viewpoint. It has no value whatsoever to the believer. So in this context, we're talking about those who teach permissive doctrines. Because we're in the context of sexual sins. He's saying, don't be deceived and don't take part in these sins with the ones who are trying to deceive you. So, the context, the deceivers are those who teach that it's okay to sin, basically. And the deceivers use teaching to promote their false doctrines. In fact, they still do. Go to a grade school, even. They teach permissive doctrines. Go to a high school. Hand out condoms in the hall. They're going to do it anyway. We might as well make it easy for them. That's a permissive doctrine. And I'm just using examples, and these are teachers that are doing this. They're teaching our children this. So they are using teaching to promote their false doctrine. So what do we do about that? What can we do about all these teachers, be they religious, they teach permissive doctrine in churches, in schools, anywhere, the media teaches permissive doctrine all the time. Hollywood is built upon permissive doctrines. So what do we do about it? Do we isolate ourselves from all of that? We say, well, that's bad false teaching, I'm not going to listen. Well, you'd have to live in a cave. You'd have to, and that's where the concept of monasticism comes from, that the monks, you know, we have to separate ourselves from the world. And it doesn't work. So our job is to not fall for it. Don't fall for this teaching. You can't avoid it. If you go out and live your life, you can't avoid this false teaching, this permissive doctrine teaching. It's everywhere. Our job is to not fall for it. Not necessarily avoid it, but don't fall for it. So it's a matter of being careful. And you go out throughout the week, just take a little poll sometime. Take a notebook and say, how much human viewpoint came into my ears this week? And how much divine viewpoint came into my ears this week? And I have to be careful not to be fooled by that human viewpoint. And the only way I can not be fooled by it is to know divine viewpoint. It's the only way. Now, why should we have this attitude? Why should we avoid permissive doctrine, especially in the area here we're talking about sexual sins? That is because there's a link between sexual immorality and the wrath of God. God does not like it. That's why we shouldn't do it. In fact, in verse 6b, it says, "For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Now, the word "comes" is in the present tense. What does that mean? It means that is always God's attitude. Remember, present tense is the linear tense. It's the ongoing tense. God always has that attitude. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say, well, now it's okay. I said in the Old Testament that it wasn't okay. Now you're free from the Mosaic law, so now it's okay. No, God doesn't change his mind. Always, always the attitude of God towards sexual immorality. God is not unconcerned about the morality of the Roman Empire here or the United States in our culture. You know, most people picture God as kind of a blind old fool in a rocking chair just dying for somebody to come and talk to him. Well, they're going to find out that God loves us. Indeed, he loves each and every one of us. But he's also a righteous God. And there are certain things that he doesn't like. Now, I want to point out here, just in case you get the wrong idea, this verse is not saying that a believer can incur God's wrath. Some people will teach it that way. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And what it means, what he means there is that, well, sons of disobedience is a Hebraism, what we call a Hebraism. It's a Hebrew way of saying something. Sons of something or other means that is their characteristic. They're characterized by that. So sons of disobedience would be the people who are characterized by disobedience. And he's describing a group of people. Who would that group be that are characterized by disobeying God? Unbelievers. He's talking about unbelievers. So he said the wrath of God is going to fall on these unbelievers. So you shouldn't do the same things they do. And we just went through this before. Remember, a giant change has taken place in the life of these Ephesian believers. They've gone from being unbelievers to being believers. And now their conduct should reflect that. Now, believers can incur discipline. You see that in David. He committed sexual immoralities. He was disciplined. But he didn't lose his salvation. In fact, in the New Testament, God calls him a man after his own heart. So we can be disciplined if we participate in these things, but we can't lose our salvation, and the wrath of God cannot fall upon a believer. Don't ever think that. people in Corinth. Remember, they were in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The people at Corinth, during their Lord's table, were having parties. They were getting drunk, having orgies, and some of them were being disciplined to the point of physical death. And it was for their attitude. They didn't understand what they were doing. They thought it was just a party. They had no idea what the communion was. So what's a logical conclusion? Don't be convinced by their empty words. Because if God's attitude toward sexual sins is wrath, does it make sense that believers should participate in the sexual sins then? No, it doesn't make sense. He's not saying you'll incur the wrath of God if you do. He's just saying that's the kind of thing that incurs God's wrath. For unbelievers, why would you want to do that? You're a believer. You're different. You're changed. Partakers, in verse 7, he says, therefore do not be partakers with them. That word partakers refers to a very close fellowship. It's sumetikos. We have to be careful because it doesn't say avoid these people. It says don't become having a share with them in their licentiousness. Sumetikos. Soon is the preposition of close association. Close association. So having a share with another in some possession or relationship is the dictionary definition, the Bauer, Arndt, and Gingrich definition. It was used of people who went in together to buy a house, for example. It's not saying we have nothing to do with unbelievers. Remember, Jesus ate with sinners. And the scribes and Pharisees just went berserko because he ate with the sinners. Why? Because it contradicted their traditions. Well, he said healthy people don't need a doctor. It's the sick ones who do. So if we avoid unbelievers entirely, who are you going to witness to? You won't have anybody. So you can't avoid them, but be careful that you don't get caught by their false doctrine. So, doesn't say that we shouldn't have anything to do with unbelievers. It just says don't buy into this licentiousness business with them. And he explains that in verse 8 through 10. And the explanation is very simple. The doctrine is a change has taken place. Now, remember back in chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, when he was talking about, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, that old sin nature just gets worse and worse. Renew your mind and put on your new self. So now Paul is going to use an illustration to explain that. And the illustration he uses is darkness and light. He says, you were formerly darkness in verse 8. For you were formerly darkness. Now, notice he doesn't say you were formerly in the dark or you were formerly in the darkness. He says you were darkness before. And the word were, you were darkness, the word were is emphatic here. So that means that's in the past, that's gone. But now you are light. Again, it's not in the light, it's light. So a complete change has taken place in the believer's life, whether their conduct reflects that or not. A change has taken place. They've gone from being darkness to being light. What's the basis of that change? Well, I'm such a wonderful person. Now I'm getting a few chuckles. No, that's not it. It's our union with Christ. I believe the gospel. Therefore, a change took place. I went from being darkness to being light. Whether or not my conduct reflects that, it's a fact. So, the logical conclusion then is, you were darkness, now you're light. Act like it. And that's what he says, walk as children of the light. It's very simple. Argument here. And Paul uses this argument over and over in the New Testament. He says, you guys used to be sinners before you became believers. Now you're believers. Act like it. You know, in the church today, I don't see this argument that much. I see arguments like, well, if your conduct doesn't shape up, that means probably you're not really a believer. Paul never questioned the authenticity of their belief. And if you're going to bring up 1 Corinthians 13, you better come and see me about that, because that's not what he's talking about there. 2 Corinthians 13, is that what I said? Where he says, examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith. He's not questioning their faith there. He's proving that he's an apostle. But anyway, he's saying here, as is his usual argument, you were unbelievers. Now you're believers. Why don't you act like it? You should act like it. And this is the basic difference between religion and Christianity. You know, when people ask me what I do, if I don't want to get into a big discussion, I'll say I'm a greeter at Walmart. But if, you know, sometimes there's nothing wrong with being a greeter at Walmart. Nothing at all. I'm not. Bob, I'm not casting any aspersions on that. It's just that sometimes I don't want to argue with people. But when I say I'm a pastor, they say, oh, well, you're in religion then, huh? No, I'm not in the religion industry at all. In fact, I hate religion. I absolutely hate religion. There's a difference between Christianity and religion. Religion says we have to do in order to become. It says we have to do something to earn God's grace, for example. We have to do something to earn God's blessing in our Christian life. It's always the do and then the get. Well, Christianity says do because of what you are. You're light. You're not darkness anymore. So why on earth would you want to be darkness? Act like it. Act like light. So the believer's lifestyle should flow from his beliefs. That's only natural, isn't it? And what are the results then? If you do walk as children of the light, there'll be some results. Fruit. And that's verse 9, where it says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and faith, and truth. Truth. So, there are results with this. First, goodness, agathosune, and all that means is active goodness. It's not a passive thing, it's an active goodness. If you want to go to the lexicon, it's positive moral quality characterized especially by interest in the welfare of others. That's going to flow out of being a child of the light. Righteousness, dikaiosune. Now, this isn't the kind of righteousness that God imparts. It's talking about experiential righteousness, because he's talking about conduct here. He isn't talking about their position. As position-wise, we have the righteousness of God because he imputed it to us. But in our everyday lives, righteousness is a different story, isn't it? And that's what he's talking about here. If you walk as a child of light, then you will be characterized by upright behavior. Truth, aletheia. Aletheia, here, in the sense of being honest. You'll be honest. And in verse 9 it says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. And that in all, it goes with all three of those things. So it's all the goodness, all the righteousness, all the truth, or the honesty. That's what being light is. How do we do that? That's verse 10. And it's again and again and again we see this. How do we do it? We study God's word. Try to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. How do you learn what's pleasing to the Lord? Do you pray and ask him to write it on the sand in front of you? You know, maybe Satan will write something there. I don't know. I know to go to God's word. That's the only place I know to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. Because human viewpoint says all kinds of things are pleasing to the Lord. I mean, there were religions that threw their children in frying pans, basically, a giant frying pan, and killed them, thinking they were appeasing their God, thinking they were being pleasing to the Lord. I have to learn it from God's word. Because if I come up with something, it'll be something different. Now, trying to learn kind of gives you the idea that you might not succeed, doesn't it? Try it. You know, give it a try. If it doesn't work, yeah. That's not how it's phrased in Greek. That word is dokimazo, and we've had it before. Dokimazo is a word that means to put something to the test for the purpose of approval. To make a critical examination of something to determine genuineness. So the word, remember, was used for testing the purity of a metal. Like, how much gold is this? Is this really gold, or is it just half gold and half something else? Well, they melt it down and test it to see how pure it was. And that's what this word means. Well, what's the test then? Is it pleasing to the Lord? There's an assumption with that. We have to know what's pleasing to the Lord. And again, the only place I can find that is in God's word. He told us. He told me what's pleasing to him. Right here. I've got it. I don't have to look elsewhere. Now he gives some commands about participating with these guys. These deceivers who are teaching licentious doctrine. And he starts out with a prohibition in verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. So the prohibition says we are to separate ourselves from the deeds. He doesn't say separate yourself from the people. Again, you'd have to live in a cave if you did that. You just couldn't hide well enough. But we're to separate ourselves from their deeds. The unfruitful deeds of darkness, he calls them. What do we say about those? No gain, no blessing, no reward. They're totally useless. He calls it the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. Here he calls it the unfruitful deeds of darkness. It's the opposite of fruit of the light, walking as children of the light. So what's our alternative? Our alternative is to expose them. Verse 11b, but instead even expose them. Now this is a command, and the verb is a present tense active voice imperative mood. That means keep on exposing them. If you want to get the full meaning out of that. Keep on exposing them all the time. How do you do that? How do you expose the deeds of darkness? Well, that's simple. Teach the truth. In verse 13, he explains that. He says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. So the purpose of light is to make things visible. And you know what? He says, walk as children of the light, and you will expose the deeds of darkness. You don't expose the deeds of darkness by talking about it. You expose the deeds of darkness by teaching truth. And that's kind of important, because we expose darkness by being light. We do not learn truth by studying error. That's fraught with danger. And I know some people who spend their lives studying a false religion so they can refute it. But, you know, I had a friend call me up one time. This is a long time ago. And he said, you know, I've had some Mormons come to my door. And that was up in Nebraska. And he said, I'm going to do a study on Mormon. And I'm going to learn their faith, you know, so I can refute it. And I said, well, why don't you do a study on Colossians instead? Because it talks about, you know, if you taught Colossians and to those Mormons, they would know that either you're wrong or they are. So why don't you learn truth and teach that instead? And he thought about it a while. I'll think about that. I don't know what he ever did. He never told me. But, you know, I said, we expose darkness by being light. We can't be light if we don't know God's word. You know, this goes completely against human viewpoint. What would human viewpoint say? Let's get this all out in the open. Let's have a committee and see if it's a sin or a not sin. Homosexuality is a perfect example of this. What do churches do? They form a committee and say, is it okay to have a homosexual pastor? Well, let's let the group all get together and share their views on it. Who cares about their views? I care about God's view. He says no. You know, sometimes we lend credibility to things like that just by talking about them. And that's why he says here, don't even talk about them. Verse 12 says, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. You know, if I wanted to expose, I know I'll get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Suppose I want to expose the fact that pornography is wrong. Would I do that by watching all the porn movies I could get my hands on so I could see if they're right or wrong? Of course not. I go to God's Word. Do you get the idea? You study truth, not error. And then when you put them up side by side, you balance them on the scale, you're going to know. Now he makes a quotation in verse 14. He says, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Interesting. Where do you get this quotation from? Well, it's not found in the Old Testament. He didn't say it was. He just says, that's why it says. He could be quoting another source. I mean, Paul was an apostle. He was authorized to write Scripture. He did write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so he could quote anything he wanted to. Possibly it's a paraphrase of Isaiah 61, but the idea is very simple. You know, it doesn't matter where the quote came from. The idea is very simple. Wake up. You know, we live in a fallen, sinful world. And we need to be constantly on the alert for these deceivers that are running around teaching permissive doctrines. That's what he's saying. You're children of light. You shouldn't do that. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical. Now, some of you know when I say goodbye, I quote a line from a movie, of course, you know, being who I am. I say, you be careful out among them English. And I have nothing against English. That's not the point. Substitute unbelievers. Substitute human viewpoint, but it's from a movie, so I say it, you know. You be careful out among them English. It's a dangerous, dangerous world out there. It's a sinful, fallen world out there. And you guys, when you leave here today, you be careful out among them English. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this section in Ephesians. And we pray that being children of light, we can conduct ourselves as children of the light so we can expose the deeds of darkness and we can live lives pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen.